That's it. You just got to hear it finally. Escalation of Force. That song was called Death Letter. And it's hard as fuck. So, Terry and I recorded this podcast a couple weeks ago. He's been waiting on the masters, and he is very happy with it. We're happy with it. I'm happy. I heard the other version he had, and I loved it just as much. But this new one, it's just a little more, you know, crispier and cleaner. It sounds really, really, really good. And since I've ever heard fucking Terry first on whichever Smash Your Enemy song he did way back off one of their first couple albums, I just always saw he had a good sounding voice and figured he'd been a good front man. Then he did that song Bloodshed with Smash Your Enemies. And then I think Faithless was the other one that he also had a guest spot on. And for those who don't know, he was the guitarist in Smash Your Enemies. He's played in Tyrant, Bitter Peace AD. He's been in a bunch of bands. Very, 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 very talented musician. He's been around a long time. His brother is Brandon, the singer of Smash Your Enemies, if anybody remembers that band. They've been around a long time as well. Not very active. Honestly, don't know if they're even a band anymore. But love that band. So it's cool that he stepped it up and put out something that he really wanted to do. And he wasn't going to put it out and let people hear it till he was thoroughly happy with it. And, you know, who blames him? You know, he knows what he likes and he wants it to sound a certain way. He's been doing this shit long enough that he knows what's quality enough for him to put the stamp of approval on and send it out to the world in its final form. It doesn't get much better. Super heavy. Pretty technical, if you ask me. I'm not a musician. I know I couldn't do it, but it's good shit. And can't wait to hear more. You can hear it on all streaming platforms. It's everywhere. Listen to it over and over and over again. Learn the words. Sooner or later, they're going to have a show. I can't wait for that to happen. They will fit right in with what's going on in the scene right now. All veterans of the scene, everybody in the band is. So, always welcome with open arms and happy to hear some new music coming from people. And, you know, that's all it really takes to keep this shit going. People and innovation. I'm not going to rant this time and, you know, tell you all the upcoming shows and shit like that. There's so much fucking going on. So much. So many shows. You could go on Instagram, go on Edgeman shows, go to the Sanctuary, go the DHC Network. Anybody, you can find the list anywhere. On Instagram or fucking Facebook, I'm friends with the guy, Damien Dissonance. And he posted probably every show from now to fucking May on his page. And there's so many double and triple booked weekends all over the state, southeastern Michigan, all the way up to Grand Rapids. I'm surprised it's still going as strong as it is. And it's still building momentum, getting better and better for us. And it's awesome to see so many new bands, Liuda, Contained, Hard Count, obviously Escalation of Force. Who just had their first show? Stop at Nothing. We talk about it in this episode. It was a great show, great first show for them guys. So shout out to Kenny and Nick and Lyric and Joe and all those people. And fucking Jake on the drums. Good times, good times, good people. Everyone's stepping up. But the question is, why aren't you stepping up? Huh? Why aren't you stepping up? No, talking shit. Yeah, you know, eventually maybe I might get a band going myself here. You never know. You never know. It'll be fun times. I'd love to sing for a band. I'd love to front a band. It'd be fucking awesome. I'd be completely nervous, to be honest, but I think once you do it once or twice, it's probably the same shit, right? Like, I can sit here in my basement and talk all fucking day, and I don't have to look at anybody. If I was standing up on a stage in between songs and you got 20 to, you know, 100 people fucking staring at you, waiting for you to say something interesting, that'd be a different story. But Maybe I'll take on that challenge eventually. If you're lucky enough, it'd be a good time. So, cut this short. Do your part. Maybe share the podcast. Go back and listen to Escalation of Force 100 or 200 more times before the week is up. We need them in that Detroit hardcore algorithm. They got to fit right in, you know? Once you get out of your playlist, it just starts playing random-ass music. You want them playing so everybody can hear it. That's what it takes. So, once again, go follow them if you haven't. Escalation of Force. Thanks again, TJ, for jumping on here. And be on the lookout, because they already got new shit written, and they want to start doing shows. So once they get a good, solid set going, we'll put them in front of the right people and, you know, make sure the world knows the Escalation of Force is about to take over. For the second time. So Tom, the first time we tried recording online, but you had worse internet than Jeremy.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but...
No, good times. I'm excited that you found the time to come down here. It took a little half day, and now we're going to do a proper podcast with... You know, we're going to pump up the new band coming out, yeah, Escalation absolutely. Of Force. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. There'll be a song on the beginning of this that people had just heard. So, are you happy with everything you got going on right now and the sounds that are being produced?
Yeah, it's dope. The first two songs that are getting released were written by myself and Mike Moynihan sitting in a room together because I couldn't find anybody to play guitar for a band that I was going to sing in. So I'm pretty pumped on them, but also like looking forward to the next stuff because it's not, you know, it's not me. It's our actual guitar players we have now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You have a little input from other people who, you know, you invited to join you in the band, and you know, here obviously you have to trust their abilities as musicians, you know, to make the right sounds. And
yeah, absolutely. And I'm pretty picky anyway. Like, but I know the guys, so it's like it's easy to communicate it without being like I guess like offensive. You know what I mean? You can kind of just say what you want, and it's like, yeah, dude, I get it.
So. Yeah, no, not that. A little more like this. No, not like that. A little more like this. Yeah, that'd be me. That'd be, I'd feel like I'd be like picky as fuck. Like, sorry, can you just slow that down a little bit? You know, or speed it up. Or
I'm more of a speed it up guy.
Okay. No. Like, I can see. I heard the song that you sent me, and I really like it. I'm excited to hear more. And as I told you this, I like you as a vocalist when you've done a couple guest spots and like Smash Your Enemies and shit like that. Yeah. So it was cool to hear that. And I said when I heard that song, Bloodshed, go listen to it if you haven't. And then you did another one before that, yeah?
Yeah, the first album was, I did a part on Revenge. And then the EP, I did one on the song that was written about my son, 4413. And then the Bloodshed one. And then they wrote an EP after I left, the Genocide EP that I did. I think it's on Faithless. They did a video for it.
Yeah. You guys are on like a porch or something, I think.
Yeah.
Damn, I forgot about it. To be honest, like, it's like not that the album fell flat. It's just like there wasn't much activity after that dropped.
And it sucked because the one before that was the same thing. It was like we recorded in July. And then I left the band, and then they did the CD release show in October with King at the Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And then I think they played a couple shows after that, and then it was pandemic. So it's like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it was. And then they already had some shit written, and then they did that album release show. Did you play that show? Or
No, I went up there to Parts and Labor, and then I did that part that I did on that new song. And
Yeah. That was a good fucking show. It was fun. It was sold out. That was the first time I seen like a sold out like Parts and Labor.
Was it sold out?
Yeah. God damn. Yeah. I mean, it's only, I think 100 people can fit in there. So like the five bands, maybe 75 paid.
Yeah.
But still, dude, like it was packed the other night, that fucking D-Block show.
I was just going to say that. That fucking, when I saw that flyer, I'm like, my God, I hope they still have shows there after this.
Yeah. Look, from what I heard, Justin, the owner, was extremely happy with the turnout. He's fucking been booking shows forever. So for him to allow it and understand what the possibilities are, you know, it's kind of like, so there's been shows, like hardcore shows there before, but like nothing to that level. Like, D-Bot played like 2 years ago there, but they have grown so much since.
Yeah, they're huge.
And then to have a Vigilante and Enemy of God's last show, it was
one
hell of a night, man. So crazy. And, you know, hopefully it can just happen more there because it's a good spot, nice tight venue. I was easy to book there. Justin's cool and very flexible. And so it's...
Yeah, I was like, when I saw it, I was like, that place is a dope venue. There's another place down on Allen Road. I forget the name of it, but it was like some bar.
Simon's.
After Dark.
Dude, that place is dark.
I think that's what it says, right?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I was like, dude, both of those venues are sick. Like, they're pretty close too, right?
Yeah.
Fairly close?
Yeah, dude. They're on the same fucking road, I believe. Allen Road. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He's a little bit down the road. I forgot about that fucking place. There hasn't been much activity. I don't even know if it's that bar still anymore. Because a few hardcore shows I went, like, weren't too crazy, but I liked the venue.
Yeah, it was like, you know, smaller and just, mm-hmm. you know, it makes sense when your band's not drawing fucking 100 people. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like a small venue, you pack in 50 people, it looks like an insane event and all that energy's contained into one small area and...
Yeah.
You know, nowhere to run.
And I see, like, last night they announced something about the Modern Exchange possibly coming back.
Apparently. I've been trying to fucking fight for information since I seen that last night. I haven't really found out much, but somebody who's in a band, this band, Dead Wrong, they're local.
Is it Terry?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I don't know if you knew him or not. Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, he knows, so whatever. Who's like trying to take it over? It's going to be like a resale shop in the front as it was then, but I think for more like games and collectibles and shit, and they're going to try, they're jumping through hoops right now, like trying to get it all set up like to where they can possibly have shows again. That's not 100%. They're just like dealing with like the city and shit like that. As far as I'm aware, I don't know. But I'm trying to get as much information as possible. Bring that fucking place back into a more positive light. Everybody is such a negative image because it was a horrible place.
It's like the Downriver Vatican. It's like, that's the spot, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was. And I was glad to fucking bring hardcore back to Downriver. It's fucking right down the street from me.
Yeah,
So some people are like, that'll be stupid. Like, no, you have the wrong idea. Like, everyone's a lot more mature now, and we can control that place the way it should have been, because it was just a fucking cesspool of violence and underage drinking and drugs, and, you know, and I was the number one suspect, you know? Yeah. So sorry.
For sure.
So Doug, the owner, you know, he just didn't have the right people, or he didn't care about the job. I don't know what his deal was, like... How did he allow such fucking chaos?
He just seemed like a very passive person, besides just carrying that bear mace on certain shows. He's like, fuck, I'm fed up, dude. I'm fucking carrying the bear mace.
Yeah, man. He let everybody know this fucking shit's about to go down if you don't stop.
And he did.
Oh, yeah. He never had a problem fucking pulling that fire hydrant.
Yeah.
God damn it. This shit was wild. Plenty of nights, I got hit with mace, so... It is what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would even be like that anymore. It's just a different time. Obviously, going to be a different owner. I would do my very best to make that shit last as long as possible. Especially if it's in like a neighborhood, basically. Like, if I'm like suburbs, dude. Like, there's houses on either side. You know,
yeah.
You just walk down the street a little. And I can't imagine, like, you know, so the people seeing that right now are like, oh, fuck no.
Y'all
the people who live by it.
God damn it. Not again.
Exactly. But, like I said, with the right people running shit, that'd be really cool to see it come back.
Yeah, for sure.
And just have those shows. I mean, you can pack probably 200, 300 people in that place.
Yeah.
As far as I remember, it's pretty fucking big.
Yeah, it's like definitely a considerable size.
Yeah.
For a hardcore band to draw there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they, if they're open to that idea, I'll... Do whatever I can to make shit happen there.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd be fun. But who cares about the Modern Exchange? We're here for escalation of force, baby. I don't know. Let me see. This is your band. As we talked last time, we went over like your history of like how you got into shows and shit. Do you just want to give a quick rundown of how you got into hardcore and, you know, some of your first like favorite fucking like, shows that you went to early on?
Yeah, like I mean, my dad growing up was like always blaring like Ozzy and Metallica, which I still love probably more than any hardcore band. But but beyond that, I think the first band that I heard that I was just like, you know, like growing up, like playing Tony Hawk and stuff like that, that or playing those like snowboarding games on fucking PlayStation. You hear like Dave Mirra, BMX and stuff like, you hear like punk songs, but I was like, oh, this shit's like kind of cool, but it never like stuck with me. Never was I like, this is my shit. And then I heard Hatebreed and I was like, for probably 15 years, dude, it was just like nothing else mattered. I mean, I like Terror, you know what I mean? But like Hatebreed's like the band for me. So, I don't know. As far as like favorite shows that I've gone to, I don't know. I got favorite shows I played though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's some of your favorite shows that you played with?
Probably like Smash Your Enemies. The Jamboree, I'm not sure if it was the first or second time we played it, but our drummer was late. So we had our buddy Kevin fill in for half the set until our drummer showed up. It was just a pretty crazy set. And then, the Tyrant one, we played this show at like a Warsaw Arena in, what was it, Cincinnati? Yeah, it was like a wrestling show. So there's like a wrestling match and then a band and then a wrestling match and then a band. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, it is cool. Is that the one, there's a video online of that place where Dave jumps off the stage? Is that the
same place? I think it's the same place, but it was a different show. Oh, okay. Yeah. That show was sick too. I think we played like with Title Fight and something. Like it was just really random.
Yeah, do some of those. I never went down to Cincinnati or like Dayton for any of the shows, but like they were always just as crazy as like the Detroit shows. It seemed from like, you know, when you hear people talk about it.
Yeah, and that time that I was in the band, I think Cincinnati was like for sure going off harder for us than Detroit was. So it was always cool to go down there.
Nice. Yeah, dude, because I was a little younger than all those people. So just like, you're like, yeah, they're going down to fucking Dayton to, you know, just all. I'll get together all the Courage Crew guys. There's just one big fucking gang party.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Just a bunch of nerds.
No, I don't know anything about all that. But.
I know. Just hearing as like a younger guy, knowing any of you guys, just like when you're looking at the older dudes, like they're all insane.
And like, that's how I felt like looking at like Beast and those guys. Like when I was younger, I was like, what the fuck? Stay away from those motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like fucking 5'9", 140. That dude, I don't know how tall he is, but he seemed like he was like 7 foot tall and 300. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Just like in your mind, how you just, everything's.
It is crazy how it works. And then when you grow up, you're still going to shows and shit. And you're like, am I that guy? You know, like, and I try to be as respectable as possible with like the younger kids, you know, because a lot of younger kids, like when they hear the podcast, I hope I come off as like a decent guy, but like,
I believe so.
Shit, back in the day, like I was just as unapproachable as anybody else, but that was like, it was seemed like the mindset had to be at that time, like for posture and, you know,
yeah,
but don't talk to me unless, you know, you're fucking, I don't know. Unless I know you, I guess. That's what, shit was weird, man. At least I had that weird fucking mindset. I didn't want to be friends with anybody. I had like a circle and that's all I cared about.
Yeah.
So I don't need nobody else.
I kind of feel the same way. Like I've never been like the outgoing dude in the band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Dave took care of that in Tyrant. My brother in Smash. Like stuff like that where I feel like I was just kind of beat back behind the scenes and doing my own thing, standing in the back of the room, you know?
Yeah, you know, like, besides, like, moshing and shit, I was never the guy, like I said, like, I don't want a fucking million friends. I didn't want any friends like that, you know? Yeah. And I was just, like, never outgoing, just had my few people that I hung out with, and like, no new friends was, like, my motto. No new friends. But I enjoy it now. I enjoy meeting people, the young kids that go to shows, and it's cool that it's a way more positive and fun, welcoming environment, and you know, everyone kind of gets along.
Yeah, it's insane how the bands popping up now.
So many bands. So many fucking bands. Yeah. It's. I don't remember there being like as many bands as there is now, which isn't even a bad thing. Like, it's fucking great.
No, it's cool. For sure.
They're all good. Everyone seems like way more talented, and you know, there's a five, or, you know, like, they have a couple people in different bands. Or like four or five bands, like Joe Plonky and fucking Lyric. They're all over the place doing all this shit. And,
yeah.
You know.
Big deal. Enemy of God. I don't know. What's the new one with Kenny?
Stop at Nothing.
Stop at Nothing. I know they changed their name.
They did have a different name. Yeah. I forgot what it was. I forgot what the band was called. Because it was like a... I'm going to say it was old, a One Life Crew band name. Like, it was like one of those guys had another band. fuck, something fighting. I don't know. But yeah. They're like, hey, that's disrespectful. So they changed it.
Jesus.
But, hey, you got to do what you got to do. But I like Stopping Nothing. Their first show, March 25th, at Parts and Labor with Vigilante.
That's dope.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. There's a lot going on. And you guys don't have any shows booked as of now,
not
do you?
No, like I said, like we wrote, like sat and wrote those two songs, and then like over like a 2 month period of being like, hey, are you free on Friday? All right, I'm gonna come over and like play guitar, and then like, oh, I got these lyrics, but I didn't write like two separate songs. I just wrote a bunch of lyrics, and I knew it was gonna, both songs are gonna be relatively about the same topic, so I just went there and picked lines out. And maybe you can tell listening to the songs, maybe you can't, but either way, yeah. So we have those two, and then we have like three more written, and it's just a matter of like being tight instead of like being like, yeah, we'll play right now, and then sound like shit, and then it's just like, you know.
Yeah, that's a good outlook, man. Like, especially like a first impression, like, you know, all these heavy hitters in the band, you know, so you want to make sure it's all well put together, good clean set, yeah. You know, and dude, it's, I don't know what to say. It's cool. Just it all just fits in with the flow. You guys fucking get in line with all the other bands and fucking you know, add to the hardcore machine in Detroit, man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like where we fit with our sound. Because I feel like we're not, you know, we don't sound like Slice, Moral Pollution. We don't sound like D-Block or Annie Up. You know what I mean? Not saying that we're like different or cool. I'm just saying like as far as like riff wise and maybe even like vocal tone, like I don't feel like it's like, you know, people are probably either gonna be like, that's dope, or that fucking sucks. Either way, I guess it's cool. I don't really, doesn't matter.
I mean, you know, when you hear the name, you know, you have this own like, image in my head, like Escalation of Force. I think of like, obviously, you know, like a militant type thing, you know, like a hard ass band, which is what I've heard. So, like, so the name fits how it sounds, in my opinion. So, if anybody is like, oh, yeah, that sounds hard, it's probably going to be fucking hard. So, you know.
Yeah, I think that lines up for sure. I was worried about, like, after it, I'm like, I had the name for a while, and then I was like, thinking, like, dude, we're going to sound like we're like a total cop band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we're not, but still. I do have friends that
Escalation
are police
of
officers.
Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, all right. He didn't put his hand up. We should probably shoot him. That's like Escalate Force. So who else in the band? We didn't get that far.
My brother, Brandon's playing bass. And then Matt, who played, he played in Red Eye Flight and then played in Smash for a bit. He's playing guitar. Sean Williams, who plays in We Will Rot and Bloodline Calligraphy, is playing guitar. And then Rory, who plays in Red Lord, plays bass in Red Lord. He's playing drums. So, yeah. Nice. Rounded that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man. I did it. Was it a pretty easy to find a lineup? I'm sure your brother was in right away for the most part.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. He's like, I'll play bass. I'm like, sick. Let's do it. And then my buddy Matt, he'd like come over and watch UFC or whatever, and I'd be like, yeah, doing this band, dude, whatever. And I like send him the demo of the first song, the one you've heard, and he's like, oh, I'll play. I'm like, sick, like, let's go. And then I asked Sean, who I asked before to like write me some like songs I can sing on, and finally when I sent him one, he's like, cool, I'll do it. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
maybe, man. It just showed, maybe you just need to see a little initiative on my part to be into it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, dude, I'm on, like, I'm so ready to fucking start my own band now. Like, I don't play instruments, so for me to like pick out some people, I'd be like, this is what I want. Like, that just seems like a difficult task, like, to try, because I couldn't write or say, like I can send you a band I want it to sound like, but that
for
is
sure.
Like, I don't know how they're like, what? Like, you want to sound like that band? Like, I'm just going to do what they do? Like, yeah. I don't know. Fucking figure it out.
Yeah, I was like, that's what we were writing the first song. I was like, Mike's like, what sound are you going for? I was like, kind of like Dying Fetus and like Hatebreed. He's like more like the tremolo like, and I'm like, no, like, I want the fucking, the chunky Dying Fetus parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it even fucking sounds like that, but in my own head, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it just falls into place the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, at least you can give some sort of example. Like, you can say, I want it to sound like, and do it yourself. Me, I just have to make the noises with my fucking face, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I want the drums to sound like, doo-bah, doo-bah, doo-bah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
yeah,
that's all I got for you, you know? Or I can play a fucking band that'll sound like how I want to sound.
Exactly.
When you wrote the lyrics, were you, like, did you write that before the music, or did you, like, write, like, music in your head and then, like, write it to what you wanted it to sound like?
I don't know. I think I may have, like, went over and did the song first, like, the first song, and then I start writing lyrics, and then, fuck. Dude, I don't know. Dude, I don't even know if I went over and did the vocals on the first song before we did the guitar on the second one. So, I don't know, dude. I just fucking wrote a bunch of lyrics and went over and then line by line kind of put it in and yeah, just did it.
Just did it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, man. I mean, it's, you know, how much effort. You know, you want it to sound good, but especially a hardcore band. Like, you don't want to think about it too much, do you?
So right.
Just fucking throw it. You want it to, like, sound good. But you have something in your head, fucking get it out. Get it out of here, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I just knew I just didn't want to, like, I didn't want it to sound like Smash. I didn't want it to sound like Tyrant. Not because they didn't sound good, I just don't want to, why would I do, like, three bands that sound the same? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to be that guy. You know what I mean?
We're just, like, hanging on to...
Oh, this is the same shit, dude. Like, no. Cool.
Well, I mean, obviously the band Escalation of Force with the name... And everybody knows, anybody knows you're in the military. So that's, it's cool. Like, that, I don't even know where I was going with that. You're in the military and, you know, like, some of the songs are about, like, your time there or just about, like, what it was, or.
Both of them are, both of the songs that are going to be released for sure. Yeah. And then probably the next one's, like, the mental health song. You know?
Yeah.
But that'll be on the following release.
Yeah,
but,
cool.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, what branch of the military were you in?
The Marines.
The Marines.
Yeah.
The hardest of hard.
That's why I joined. I was like, I got like this scholarship when I lived in Flint. That's the Martin Luther King Julius Caesar Chavez Jr. scholarship for, like, I don't even know if it's, like, just for poor kids or, like, poor kids that, like, get decent grades. I'm not sure. But I had, like, 2 years free to a college in Michigan. And I was like, dude, I'm going to go to Oakland Community College, get my associates, and then I'm carrying on with life. And I noticed, like, once I started going, I would just leave halfway through my class and go skateboarding. So I was like, after about a year and a half, I was like, dude, I have to do something else because this is not, I'm like failing at life. Like, just skateboarding instead of going to school. I don't know how many credit hours I even have, dude. I was like, I need to do something to get some discipline in me. So I was like, what one's going to do that? And I was like, the Marines, that's supposed to be the hardest. So that's what I'm going to go do.
Man.
Not sure it worked, but I don't think I act much different. I mean, I kind of have my priorities straight, but beyond that, like, I'm still like a fucking 20-year-old skateboarder.
Yeah. Was it everything you ever dreamed?
Dude, I don't know. I just,
like when you went to, like, like boot camp, like, what do you remember, like, having, like, in your head versus what it was?
I mean, you see, like that movie Full Metal Jacket, like, that's like the initial thing I had in mind, like...
Yeah, that's what goes to my head right away.
Just dudes screaming at you, getting smoked, you know, you're, you know, going through the gas chamber, rifle range, swim qual, all that stuff. But the thing that stuck out to me the most was probably the different types of people that were there. You had, like, hood dudes, you had, like, country boys, then you had, like, these, like, religious kids, you know what I mean? It's, like, all this, like, melting pot in one platoon, and it's like, you know, you got kids that have never been swore at getting swore at, and they're just like, what the fuck is, like, what's going on? So it's like kind of funny to watch, and I laughed a bit. So I would get smoked all the time.
What does it mean, like, you just have to do a little, like, they just do more shit,
Just push-ups until my arms don't work. like burpees until I can't fucking stand up. Oh my God, fuck. I just fucking can't help it. I don't know.
Would they ever punish like other people because of you instead?
Yeah, they did that sometimes, but it wasn't, you know, I was just like the first guy on the line. So when they came out talking shit out of the drill instructor house, that I was just like, fuck. Like, it's kind of hard to like bite your lip.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Especially like me, like I like laugh at like funerals and shit out of like nervousness. It's not, you know, cause I think it's funny. It's just, I don't know. It's like, I start laughing. So yeah, that'd be me. Like, this motherfucker's spitting and screaming in my face. It'd be hard not to laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do a push-up anyway, so fuck you. No. I'm sure they don't take that lightly. Like,
not really.
Back talk. What, do they just make you work to death if you
I don't think anybody, bad, or... like, had any, like, back talk. It wasn't really, like, there wasn't really, I don't think there was, I think people knew better.
Yeah.
In a way.
Right.
But, yeah.
There's like consequences could be worse.
Or, yeah, like you're just going to get smoked and smoked and smoked, and that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, make you like stand outside all night or anything?
No. You have like...
in the rain.
We were in South Carolina on Paris Island. They have like sand fleas. They'd have you go stand in the sand pit and like mark time where you just march standing still. And then the sand fleas would come up and they'd just fucking start biting you.
Oh my God. Yo, sand fleas are gross too.
Dude, terrible.
They're scary. Sucks. They're little scary bugs.
Yeah. Or like at the rifle range, you'd be like, all right, Yulin, come over here. Lay right here for grass week. And it's like right on a fucking red anthill.
Oh my God.
Dude, are you fucking kidding me? Just getting just tortured by these fucking ants. They're crawling like in your socks and fucking, ugh.
What's grass week? Did I hear that?
Yeah. Grass week is like you go... the week before the rifle range, you go and you like dry fire your rifle at a barrel. It's the most monotonous shit in the world, but it's just trying to get you to breathe. And like as you pull your trigger, it's like kind of supposed to surprise you that the trigger, that the, you know,
yeah,
that's shooting. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess like the art of breathing before you go shoot. Cause if you're like holding your breath or you're at the top of your breath or whatever, you're not going to have such a accurate shot.
Okay, yeah. You know? Yeah. They definitely want you to know how to shoot, huh?
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of like support like with you going, or were some people like, you probably shouldn't do that, especially now, like the time you went, obviously the wartime in Iraq and shit.
Yeah, I didn't tell my mom, and then the recruiter just showed up at the house like, "Yo, hey, so any questions?" She's like, "Questions about what?" She's like, "He's joining the Marines."
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, then my dad, my family are like Navy, like heavy Navy. And I was like, first of all, like that's not like, I don't think that's where I'm gonna get disciplined in the Navy. Not to be whatever. But and then they wear those like white bell bottom pants. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking never seen dead wearing that shit.
The stupid hat.
Yeah, in my own
offense to the other branches.
No offense.
You look gay. No. Yeah, that's crazy. And especially obviously knowing the time you went, did you think you're gonna be picked to go overseas? And
I thought there was like
a good fight.
I thought there was a chance, but dude, as soon as I showed up to my unit, they're like, Yulin, I'm like, here. They're like, you're going to Iraq. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I don't even know you guys' name. You know what I mean?
Damn.
So then they like, the more they told me, the more I was like, I'm fucking dead, dude. There's no way I'm coming home. They're like, you're going to Fallujah. I'm like, fuck, dude, I've seen this shit on CNN, dude.
Yeah. Like,
this isn't good, you know what I mean? And then they're like, you're going with attached to regimental combat team 5. I'm like, motherfucker, that don't sound good.
No, combat. What? I thought I was gonna be filling fucking putting air in tires. Yeah.
You know? Then I'm like, you know, then we get there and it's like I already like before I went, I already like accepted that I was gonna die. Like there's like this picture of me hugging my mom at the airport, and I'm like, you can just tell it's like the final goodbye.
Yeah.
Like I have it somewhere at home. I'll send it to you. Not that you give a fuck.
But, no, I do, man. That's
but, yeah. So like, story, and then like coming into, getting off, we like got to Kuwait or whatever. And, I get off the airplane, like walk off the back, and I'm like, man, like the fucking, maybe it's like the jet, like the engines are like hot. Maybe they're just like blowing this air. I'm like, man, fucking hot as fuck. Like, and I walk even further. I'm like, still hot as fuck. Like, what the fuck is going on, dude? Dude, it is so fucking hot.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody like complains about that, but I mean, you get used to it relatively quick, but it felt like, if you ever took like your girlfriend's like, hair dryer and just like aimed it at your face, it's just like, dude, this doesn't even fucking make sense. This is too hot.
Ugh.
But yeah, so then we rode through Fallujah, and you're like looking at the buildings, and like the walls are like, the front walls of the building are like gone off of all these buildings. I'm just like, this is where I die, as I'm like looking out of the back of this truck. I'm like, motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, on a side note, though, I fucking watched this video like a week or two ago where this like white American guy goes over to Fallujah, and he's like hanging out like he's a fucking tourist. And I'm like, this is insane to me. I don't know. Maybe you guys can look it up. I'm sure it'll pop right up. But
yeah.
Unreal from what it was in 2006, 2007 to now is like, you would have never thought that that's the same place.
It's all like built up and like,
yeah,
back
like
to
it's
normal.
It's kind of like, it looks pretty nice. They got like a mall and fucking all hey, types of
that's,
shit. Like, they didn't have that when
yeah,
I was there, dude.
I'm sure it wasn't great when that fucking place was being blown to shit.
No.
You know, anybody who doesn't know, like, the battles of Fallujah were like the bloodiest, like, American losses and, you know, shit like that, right? Like, as yeah. far as I'm aware, like, it's some
yeah, I mean, in that war, yeah. Fallujah was bad, Ramadi was bad, and there's Baghdad, and I know there's some other areas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember just like seeing it on TV and shit. Like, no, my cousin fucking went there and shit. So for you, dude, that's fucking crazy. Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. nuts, man. That's nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Good times, huh? But obviously, you probably like built like a family and a brotherhood there with the ones that, you know, you were there with, you yeah. know, for the longest, whatever time you did.
Yeah, like
whoever.
My best friend, one was Filipino, one was black, and then two other ones were Puerto Rican. Like, my boys. The tightest.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've only seen it in movies and stuff. Like, you know, I don't even know if it would portray any, like, like camaraderie that is built with some people that you just meet. And during a war, like, you feel like you're, like, holy shit, we did this together. And that's wild.
Yeah. 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 Well, I still love those dudes. So
cool.
It's like, I guess in a way, like the movie.
You know? Like the movie.
Like, yeah. If they call me, I'm there, dude. I'm fucking...
Like SEAL Team 6 and shit.
Yeah, I'm not that deep.
Like, no. But, I mean, you did your time and you made it home alive. And
yep.
I was going to thank you for your service as an American motherfucking Marine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's badass, dude. What else is going on in life? Let me see what we got here. You have your own... shirt, the clothing line company, Detroit Boxing Company.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's, well, you've done some shit with that, some collaborations with some cool fighters and all that. You still running that shit? You still?
Yeah, yeah. Not as busy as I was with it, like as far as like my focus on it. But yeah, we've got to work with some fucking like people I never thought I would get to work with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, who? Drop some names.
Anthony Durrell. He's 2-time WBC champ at 168. Tony Harrison, 154 champ, WBC.
Mike Perry
from the now he's bare knuckle. But yeah, when we did that shirt that I was telling you before, that the fucking I'm like, dude, I'm so pumped that this dude like is like willing to do this. And then I go pick up the shirts from Edgeman. They're the ones who print my stuff, and my buddy goes, hey, did you see the news on Mike Perry? I'm like, no, what's up? He's like, yeah, TMZ just reported that he had like a domestic issue with his mother and his wife. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, which, I mean, I guess it turned out to be like some screaming match in the driveway. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean.
He's a crazy person, so.
I don't, yeah. And not like, you know? Giving him a pass or whatever the case may be, but. Yeah, I think everyone knows he's fucking a madman.
Yeah, he's punching the head a billion times, so yeah. Obviously fucked
beating
up.
People up at restaurants, fucking yeah. All types of shit.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck, man. He's always entertaining when he's in the UFC, and now for him to be doing like bare knuckle, whoops, for him to be even doing bare knuckle makes it even more like relative to his style, and like he's a fucking insane person.
I love him.
Yeah, I love the bare knuckle shit. It's they've got some good people in there, man. And so it's cool to see a lot of the old UFC fighters and, you know, not necessarily washed up. They just moved on from that organization. Throw hands, dude. Like, stand up only. That's, like, some stuff that, like, you know, I want to see it. I want to see just a stand and bang, you know, no gloves. The shit's ugly.
Yeah. Some of the UFC stuff, I watch it regularly, but it gets a little, you know, like, I understand, like, wrestling's probably the most important thing you can have as a base. But I'm not trying to watch that shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I'm, like, going to tell my kid, like, hey, you're going to go fight in 8 weeks, I would be like, you need to learn how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, not box. You need to learn how to wrestle.
Yeah, how to fucking defend your neck.
I'm not trying to watch that shit. So, have you seen the one championship where they, it's like Muay Thai, but they do it with the 4-ounce gloves?
I haven't watched it, but I've heard of the organization.
Like, Friday nights. So they have it on, like, Amazon Prime. It's fucking...
4-ounce gloves, so basically
I think it's
nothing.
3-minute rounds. It's like action.
Nice. So that's basically only to fucking protect the hands. You still got all the power and still feel like you're in hit with a fucking cinder block.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But then beyond that, Mike Perry, we did Hitman Hearns, Thomas Hearns.
Yeah.
Which
Detroit legend.
Yeah, dude. Of all fucking, like, one of the best of all time, I think. But, like, I when I went down to meet with him to do that, we went to Somerset Mall and met at a California Pizza Kitchen. It was like me, my son, and then Tommy and his son, Tommy.
Wow.
And we're just like sitting there, and I was going to take my son swimming like right after. So I'm like, dude, just bear with me for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Just got to go do this. And like Tommy Hearns is like sharing pizza with my son, and like, I'm not like a take pictures with you kind of guy, like, you know, like with my boys and whatever, but that's like one picture. If I could go back in time, I would take the picture of like those two eating pizza together, because it's like a personal moment, you know what I mean? But also might ruin the moment, so I don't know.
That's cool, man. Especially if somebody, like, obviously love boxing and for him to be a fucking legend on his own, not just from Detroit, but as good of a fighter as he was, it's...
Yeah,
crazy to sit there and have a meal with somebody of that caliber.
Yeah, it was insane. Like, then we left. My son thought his son was the guy that I was meeting. I'm like, no, not even close.
That's funny. Well, I know, like, Tommy Hearns has been, well, he was a fucking madman. Like he was like addicted to drugs and shit for a while.
I don't think
Tommy
so.
Tommy Hearns. Maybe I'm thinking of a different, another Tommy. Somebody from Detroit is a boxer. Somebody I know was in the same room as an old Detroit boxer that was fucking smoking crack.
Jesus.
Yeah, this is like...
I don't think it was him.
No, 15 years ago.
Not him.
Okay, not Tommy Hearns. Somebody else then. But,
Tommy. Tommy, I think the only issue he went bankrupt, I think. And in the articles you read online is because he was like trying to help out everybody with the money he made. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He was kind of helping family out.
He's like still to this day like the nicest guy.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy. And then he's like, I'll do a shirt with you.
Yeah, I was like, fuck.
Fuck, how old is he?
I think he's like 66 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck, do you ever go to like boxing matches or anything? I know there's a lot.
Yeah, I went this past March. I went out to Vegas to watch Caleb Plant and David Benavidez.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty dope at the MGM. Then before that, I went out to California and saw Tony Harrison fight Charlo in their second fight. And then randomly, I'll go to like local stuff like that because I try to be involved with that, with the company and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What do you think of like those two brothers, those two blonde fucks?
Logan and Jake?
Yeah. They're obviously decent fucking fighters, but for them to be fighting all these other guys, do you think it's showing their talent, or are they just fighting washed up people?
Like, I mean, dude, they're smart as fuck. Let's just be honest. If you can do that and make that amount of money, regardless of whatever, but like, I know Jake Paul has like legit trainers. You know what I mean? He's not like just like hanging out like punching the pads with some random guy. Like, I know he's got Jaylion Love, who's from Detroit, who's a pro boxer. I think he's like 18-2 or something like that. Like, he's a legit boxer. And then I think I don't want to throw out the wrong name, but I know he had another trainer that was like legitimate, a former heavyweight champ, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, they're doing their thing, dude. And if people are buying it, why not do it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's cool to see it. Like, it was sad to see Anderson Silva, you know, not put on his best performance.
Yeah, he's also 47 years old.
I know. Like, but it was I really want somebody to
knock him the fuck out.
Beat the brakes on both those fucking
probably be
guys.
The most viral video ever.
Yeah. Like, oh, man. Like, I was surprised. I can't think of his name. One of those fucking old black UFC guys who got knocked the fuck out by Jake Paul. I forgot who.
Tyron Woodley?
Yeah. I thought for sure he was going to win for some reason. I had it in my head.
Yeah. But he's a big dude, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a fucking small guy.
Tyrone. That fucking asshole calls him.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude's like, I think Tyron Woodley's like 5'9". You know what I mean? Like, and I think Jake Paul's like 6'2", maybe?
Yeah.
And fucking 15 or 16 years younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. I mean, it'd be cool to see one of them just get knocked the fuck out. It hasn't happened. So.
No. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who that. I mean, Mike Perry would be the fight, I think.
Ooh,
that'd be sick.
Yeah. For sure. I would love it. But I wonder if anybody really cares about boxing. I do.
And yeah. I mean, it's tough. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, like, as far as like pay-per-view numbers, you're not going to sell much unless you're a huge name, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but, I don't pay for any pay-per-views.
When people come over, I'll buy them. But other than that, I'll like stream it on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah. When people come over, you don't want to fucking
glitch.
Yeah. Glitch and you got to refresh it. Yeah. That happens almost every time. Yeah. And I'm like, we'll just watch on the big fucking put my phone, you know, fucking do whatever. And then in the middle of like the second round, like the main fight just shuts off.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no going back. We're trying like 7 links later trying to get it to work.
Yeah. Just drop the $80. Like, fuck.
That's it, man. But, you're coming back to, you know, after the pandemic and stuff, like, a lot of people are going to shows and others you kind of held back. All the shows you've been to from recently, are you surprised at, like, the crowd, how big the shows have been? Or does it excite you to see how it's thriving right now?
Yeah, I went to that 2023, that New Year's Day at Sanctuary.
Oh, yeah.
10 for 10.
Yeah, 10 for 10.
I was like, holy fuck. Like,
10 sold out.
Local bands and... It's fucking packed. Everyone's having a good time. I don't know that I saw any fights.
I doubt it.
Yeah. I sat there and watched like Enemy of God from the side over there, Under the Knife, Moral Pollution. But yeah, that was fucking dope. I was like, this is sick. I need to get my shit together and like actually kind of jump back in. Cause like after I quit Smash after the Become Death, like recording that EP. And then just before that was like that Cold as Life thing. And I was just like, dude, man, fuck this. Dude, I don't think I touched my guitar for like, I don't know, 4 years.
Damn.
Yeah, I was just like, man, fuck that shit. Who gives a fuck? And then I like dove in on the boxing company thing. And then now I'm like, all right, dude, I need to fucking get this out of me. You know what I mean? So the fact that it's like doing so well is fucking incredible to me. Because I don't think I've ever seen it like this. Since I've started going to shows.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah,
I don't think
which
so
is
either.
Awesome.
It is awesome. See a lot of the younger kids. You know, there's bands starting in all fucking ages right now, and everybody's supporting each other. There's really no, like, you know, lines drawn in the sand.
And there were before.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was bands around here that, like, refused to play shows with us. And they're in fucking hardcore bands now. Like, you know what I mean? Where I was just kind of like, I think if you got to know us, like, I think we're like the same people. You're just, you know what I mean? They see like some Modern Exchange type shit and these guys are fucking idiots. Like, not saying we weren't, but like at the same time, like we're all into the same shit. If we were in the same room, we would get along. It's like when I was recording with Mike Moynihan, I'm like, how the fuck didn't we like become cool? It was just like, that. Just, yeah, dude, I was with this group of people and this group of people didn't like that group of people. And it was kind of stupid.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Like, it is stupid because, you know, when you look at it from like the bigger picture, that's, is what you see if you're standing at the top of the fucking sanctuary looking down. You see like little cliques of people, you know, everybody kind of minding their own business when they're with like their own friends, and then something happened to where everyone's like kind of, you know, like open arms to each other, like you're willing to get to know somebody, or you know, it's
maybe the pandemic helped that. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe
it might have. Because before that, I feel like it was just like closed off. There was like these kids, and these kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, man, it's for the best.
For sure.
For everybody, but everybody show up and support each other and, you know, book each other's shows, or like actually paying to get into the fucking shows. A lot of people, well, it seems like would sneak in, you know, which, yeah, for sure, I snuck into a few shows. But it's like knowing and understanding how it actually works, like the whole machine behind how shows happen. You really want to support.
Yeah.
So the fucking promoter's not going to the fucking ATM at the end of the night to pay these bands.
For sure.
You know, so it's just, I don't know, man. Just something, like, our experiences sometimes are so negative, and for it to be so positive now, it's like hard to believe.
Yeah, like, and you don't want to seem like a hypocrite, but at the same time, it's like, this way is working better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, you know, once again, like going back, like how like, the modern exchange was versus if some fucking weird reality that we're in right now, it opens back up and there was hardcore shows there, it would be so much different. It wouldn't be the shithole that it was.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have this image in my head of like, I don't want to let it go. like that place needs to fucking open or something similar. Like downriver, which of Parts and Labor is great. I love that fucking place, but I've just like connected to the modern exchange. Like,
no,
like,
I feel it, but I feel like the opposite way. Like, I'm like, it's cool that like if that venue comes back, but the fact that Parts and Labor is there, I mean, that's about all you need. If you don't fuck that up, I think that you're good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you for sure. For sure.
But I mean, I guess with the amount of bands, too. Who knows?
Yeah, no. It's just my own personal, like I love that place so much because of what it was, even though it was so fucked up.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I didn't even, dude, I don't think before I was in a band, I don't even think I came downriver. Like, ever. They're like, yeah, downriver. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Just south of Detroit along the river.
Like, I remember coming down here for a show one time that was like in the basement of a, I don't know what the hell it was called.
The Floyd's Bar?
Probably. I saw like Invocation of Nihic or some shit. Well, I don't fucking know. I don't know what band.
That's the only place. It was in Lincoln Park. That's the only one that I know.
Sure.
Basement show.
But yeah, I never, like, I had no fucking clue like what downriver was. I didn't realize it was like five towns or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. Then you got Wyandotte. A lot of the hardcore kids that I met early on were all from like Wyandotte, and because the guy I worked with, he got me into all these shows and stuff, and I met his few friends, and you know how it works—you just meet new people at shows, and it was like nobody was from this area for like the longest time. That I knew of, especially in Lincoln Park. I was like the only kid like in my high school that I went to like hardcore shows. Like it seemed anyway.
And yeah. Got a Hatebreed shirt on and like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah. You're like, how the fuck do you know? No, Hatebreed was bigger, but like if I seen, there was no local hardcore band shirts in my high school, you know? And it was weird because like I hated high school. And then I found like hardcore shows and like I still hated high school, but I knew like, I'd fuck these people up if I had to. You know, I had like a different outlook on like school. Like after hardcore shows, like I started going and I took like a different like, outlook and like a different like mentality, and not necessarily like I was a little more confident because like I hated like fucking middle school and high school. It's just hating people, like asshole fucking whatever bully type people who would fuck with me, like the jocks and shit, you know? Yeah,
I kind of kept to myself in high school as well.
Like I'll fucking throw this chair at you, you know, like you know, like after I got into shows, like I'll make you fucking eat this desk. I'm not the one, dude. And it was just a weird, like it was a weird shift from being like some fucking like fat dumb nerd at like high school, then like going to shows and still being a fat, dumb nerd, but one that's not going to take shit from anybody.
Yeah.
And that changed me. The hardcore fucking changed me. It could have been for the worse then, but, you know, like, in life, for sure for the best.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I feel like those click things, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Because it's like you got a group of people that are into the same thing, but, like, and then you have a group that wants to be, like, the cool kids of the outcasts.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're no better than the fucking next kid, whether he likes fucking Amir or fucking Blood for Blood. You're not fucking cooler than him. You know what I mean? And that shit, fuck, that kind of bugs me. But it is what it is.
Yeah, well, that's how...
Amir may be a fucking bad example, but...
But no, like, I know what you're saying, but then when Amir showed up, I'd start seeing, like, people from my school at shows, like... I don't want you here.
This is my place.
Yeah, this is my fucking, my escape. And you're the dickhead that fucking made high school suck.
Yeah.
And I see you here now.
He's like targeted.
And guess what? You're about to eat this back fist, motherfucker. He's
purposely moshing.
Yeah, dude, I seen a substitute teacher at a hardcore show. It was, I think it was like that, not stick to your, the Acacia Strain. He was there, like this fucking dickhead. Like, he was like a high school, he was like a football player, but he was, see, like, he went to Linkin Park and then he like grew up and he became like a teacher, like a substitute at the time.
Yeah. But
I seen him at the Magic Stick one time. It was like but maybe Stick to Your Guns. I don't know what the fuck it was. Like a popular band. I was like, this motherfucking substitute teacher is here. And like, you know, because like, he went to high school with my sister. He was like a jock, like a real fucking douchebag. I was like, this guy. Nothing happened, but it was just weird to see some like high school people like at a place that I go to get away from high school people.
Yeah, and I've always thought like when you go to like the like that show, like Acacia Strain at the Magic Stick or Terror at the Magic Stick, like, you see all these kids and you're like, dude, where the fuck are these kids at like on the in the regular shows? Like, if you could somehow get these kids to come to the local shows, this scene would be fucking huge. And I don't know if it was at the Hatebreed show or the Bleeding Through show, but someone was handing out flyers of the upcoming shows. And I was like, dude, I don't remember seeing this since like back in the day where you got a list and you're like, oh, Shadows Falls coming, Senses Fail, fucking Emery, God Forbid. Like, where you're like, dude, I don't know who the fuck these guys are, but I'm going.
Like, like the next like 3 months of shows at Alvin's and like someone's handing the flyers, you walk out the door at the end of the night.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah. Like all those.
So whoever did that, fucking great job.
Yeah. Well, because you get that whole lineup of the next like 3-4 months worth of shows, and you're like, I'm gonna check out all these bands before that. You know, then like you're like, oh, I fucking like all these bands.
Yeah.
And that's how it fucking happens. And now it's like, you know, it's probably easier on the internet. It seems you can just
You know, all this algorithms. But when it's like in your hand, I feel like it's like it's just better. Yeah, I don't know what. Maybe it just took me back. I don't know.
No, man.
But I think that whoever did that, fucking keep doing it.
Yeah. Flyers and like flyering. Go to the whatever show, or even go to like some sort of, I don't like the word hardcore adjacent, but like one of those like other shows, like a metalcore show, and hand out flyers to, you know, something these people might like, and that can only bring more people, and hopefully like in a positive way.
For sure. Like, I went to like 200 Stab Wounds. That was like one of them that around that flyer. Dude, that has to be the hardest band out right now.
They are hard as fuck. But then, like, I have a limit of how far I go towards, like whatever, death, whatever the fuck. Like, death metal. Is it death metal? I don't know.
I believe so. I don't know what the fuck else. It's not deathcore.
Yeah.
So I'll say death metal. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that's a... You hear it, and I have seen them, and, like, Sanguisugabog and shit like that.
Yeah.
I can tolerate it, but there's some stuff I'm like, absolutely not. Like, that is just fucking way too far away from me.
Did you so you came in through like punk, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
That all lines up then.
Yeah, like Dropkick Murphys, The Casualties, like Sick of It All. I didn't know they were a hardcore band until like way later. I had no idea.
I get it too. Yeah, I understand that. I'm like thinking like, dude, fucking all these bands are dope. And they aren't even in the same genre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I get it.
Well, same with Hatebreed. I had no idea for the longest time, like, how they started and where they came from. I didn't know for the longest time. I seen Hatebreed at like Harpo's, like, Agnostic Front. And I didn't know who they were. You know, I knew who Hatebreed was. But it's like Agnostic Front. Like, oh, this shit. There's so much history that you have to kind of have to learn if you care enough, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's fucking cool. Like,
speaking of that, I have a question. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I was talking to somebody like a month ago about Mount Rushmore of Detroit hardcore.
Woo! And
I'll go first to give you a second if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. So it's four, right?
Four.
Okay.
Yeah. So John from Negative Approach. Right?
Yeah.
That's probably the front. Is that George Washington? Then I would go Lenny, Jeff from Cold as Life, and then my fourth one is Jay from Suicide Machine's Hellmouth. And I believe he played guitar in Cold as Life too.
Yeah. So yeah, at one point.
That's my four.
Wow, man. That's interesting. Because it, when you look at it, when you look at the history and all the shit all those guys have done, God damn it, dude. Like, it's hard to pick anybody else because those are like the forefathers. Of
I agree. I think I talked. One of the people I talked to was John, and I think he had Candace in his. On okay. His.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. 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 See, I'm not into Walls of Jericho. So
yeah. I thought they were dope back then, and I still think they're fucking crushing. But
I don't think they're bad. Hell of a show. Great fucking show. I don't know. I don't know. I like seeing them at Alvin's and stuff. Maybe, you know, I have a thing when bands get too big. Like, I kind of like, I'm done with you because you fucking, like, you're big now. But yeah. So that could be it. But, yeah, no, I never had a problem with the music or anything. I don't know what my deal is with
them. Yeah, and they're all cool people.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Hasty. Mm-hmm.
Chris Rawson was in.
Rawson. Yeah. Aaron Ruby. Yeah. Fuck.
I didn't know the drummer that well, Dustin, the one that was recently in the band.
Oh, okay. But yeah, back to my Mount Rushmore, man. You really can't fucking change it up. Because honestly, with obviously John Brandon, like, he started the whole shit around here, you know, without fucking Negative Approach. And you could argue, you can say anything before that. Like, even Alice Cooper and Iggy and the Stooges, shit like that. But for it to be considered like hardcore punk, there wasn't much before Negative Approach, right? And then just a few years later, because I think a Negative Approach was like 81, 82, 84, 88, Mattress Rats, and then fucking the original Cold as Life, 88, 89, all the way up until the mid-90s, which Earth Mover comes into play.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the other biggest bands around here. And it was different sound, different energy, different hardcore kids showed up at that time. You know, like the suburban hardcore kids and, you know, like, and the fucking militant straight edge hardcore kids. Like, that it wasn't really
around. Further reach.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, Suicide Machines, Jay. What the fuck is this?
What's Navarro? Last
name? Yeah, Navarro. How can I forget that? Doing our favorite bands ever. And, so
Suicide Machines?
Yeah, Suicide Machines. Yeah, yeah. All because Tony Hawk. So, fucking, thank Tony Hawk for fucking New Girl. That's the first time I ever heard him. And,
yeah. I didn't even know they were from here when I heard that.
Yeah, no, I didn't either for the longest time. And it's, yeah, because those are, you can arguably say, just because those were like the biggest bands to come out of here, but they all have their own place in adding, you know, to the hardcore and punk scene, changing it for the best or for the worst, or just, I don't know, bringing like different people into it. Because, I don't know, you think of like, you know, like 88, 89, 90, all of like the early Cold as Life shit, and Pitbull and Hating, like, those were all these, I mean, like, scary, like, fucking, like, punk rock, like, fucking poor kids, I guess. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But, like, Earth Mover, you know, like, that crowd, it would, like, you'd like, argue and say it's more, like, suburban, you know, cleaner, straight-edge kids, like, whatever the fuck, maybe, like, grew up different, you know, not such, like, hard times at home, like, growing up, you know, like, regular. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but... And then, you know, the shitty fucking crust punk kids come for Suicide Machines. You know, it's weird. It's weird. I never thought about that. It doesn't. God damn, I never thought about it.
Yeah.
But when you look at those four, that's so huge for the whole scene in general, like the entire hardcore scene, fucking globally.
Yeah. You know? Pretty lucky to have those guys.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not even a fan of Negative Approach.
Okay.
Like, I like, for me, I'm like I said, I came from like listening to metal. So like, if it's not like decently produced, I'm not even fucking listening to it, dude. Like, they're dope live for sure. But like, I'm not going to ride in my car and listen to
it. But John is screaming.
Yeah, like the recorder, why don't, nah, I'm good. That's straight. It's dope that they're doing what they're doing and they're still active and fucking playing a ton of shows. That's sick.
Yeah. Yo, especially seeing them, I don't know how I've always missed them. They're fucking from Detroit, whatever. I should have seen them 1,000 times by now, but the first time was at Tied Down last year, seeing Negative Approach. I just never seen them. And honestly, it was cool to see them live, but it was just so loud and like it's a crazy. John is just
which I think is so dope how he just brings the mic. Like each syllable he's moving the mic to his face. It's fucking hard. It's dope.
Yeah, but dude.
Like I said, like recording wise, I'm not, I mean, obviously, how good is it gonna sound in 80 whatever when you're a fucking punk band? You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. And they didn't
so it's no shade, I'm just saying.
No, like, I get it. You have your own taste.
And does it sound like the production of No More Tears, dude? All right.
Yeah, definitely like shit recordings, but you know, that's what it was, I guess. Yeah. And there's no new recordings. Like they fucking didn't record shit from like the 80s, I don't think, because he had Laughing Hyenas and his other band. I can't remember what it was, but like he moved on to fucking bigger things that like weren't even, you know, punk or hardcore, really. Just for totally different music.
That's like even like the Cold as Life album that they just like remixed and mastered or whatever.
Yeah, Declination.
Yeah, I was like, dude, what a change that was.
That made it like, I actually listen to it a lot now.
Yeah. Before and I think that album, like, maybe not like lyrically, like as far as the lyrics go, but I mean, like his voice, the tones and stuff like that, harder. The riffs, harder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Chuggy. Like, now it's like you can almost, like, you can legitimately compare the two and be like, oh, I like it for this or this. But before, I had it on my iPod or whatever, and I'm like, man, I don't know, man. It's tough to listen to.
Yeah. The recording wasn't great. So
now it sounds dope, though. So
I definitely stayed away from it for the longest time based on the recording alone.
Mm-hmm.
But like I listened to it on YouTube. I didn't have the CD or anything, but I was like, yeah, that's all I got, the YouTube version of this. And I was like, fucking sit there.
That was like the growls he would do like into different riffs, like, whoa. Yeah. Like, dude, those are so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to hear that one fucking song, What It Was, that like ska song with the horn, dude.
Yeah.
That like I wish they fucking would have did that song at the Black Christmas, because they had all those other ska bands like playing upstairs.
What is the one song that I was listening to yesterday? I'm just like the one that has like the blast beat in it. It's like the eighth track on Declination.
I don't know. I can't go by a blast beat.
Yeah. Well, either way, I was like, this song might be the hardest song they have.
Once you remember, I'm going to have to
You have like Little from the World that's like hard, like lyrically and musically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like Born to Land Hard, which I think is hard all the way around. But then if I had service, I would fucking tell you what song it was, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to my basement. That's why I got to fucking plug my shit in when we.
Oh, I think it's My Prayer.
Mm.
Dude. So if any of those dudes listen to this, John or Matt, or even Jeff. I'm not sure. Or Craig. I don't know who the drummer personally.
Jesse. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Play that song. Because that song beats ass.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, it was cool to compare it. Like, they did the one show in October, the whole reunion thing. And then they did the Black Christmas. It was cool because they didn't do the same. I was so afraid they were going to do the same set. I was like, please don't do the same set because it's my personal favorites. You know, we're kind of not on the first set they did. I was like, damn.
What's your favorite? Like, what one do you think?
So what they didn't play was Ski Mask 45, and they also did not do the song about Ron Beauty.
Our Promise.
Yeah, Promise. But they played that at the Black Christmas, which I thought they were gonna play. And I was like, motherfucker, that's like my two favorite songs.
Yeah.
And they didn't play them. And obviously, fucking Terror Zone, duh. But they did do that the first time they did, not the second time. So,
yeah. Like, everybody in that band's good to go. Like, I mean, Matt is, like, probably the best guitar player I ever played in a band with.
Yeah.
That dude is fucking... When I played in Cold as Life for that brief moment, we played Motor City Fest. And he was... I don't know if he'll agree with this, but he was drinking too much. Like, I was like, I don't think this fucker's going to play this song, like the songs right, dude. Like, there's no fucking way. I'm like looking over there like, fuck. Like, kind of like not panicking, but like, this probably ain't going to be too good.
Yeah,
and then he like fucking goes to sound check and plays a fucking Pantera solo flawlessly. And I was like, oh, we're straight, dude. We're good.
You're worried about him.
I was worried, and then he played a solo that I fucking couldn't play sober if I had 5 years to learn it.
Like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, he's good.
Real metalhead.
Yeah, dude. He's badass.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was cool to see him and John on the stage doing those songs, dude. I was like, this is
and then
fucking rad.
Jeff, like, dude, the fact that he, like, and that's another thing with that band. I'm like, it's fucking so cool. And that's Escalation of Force 2, where I'm like, dude, I should fucking play guitar and sing because that looks so hard. But at the same time, I feel like it does take away from the live
experience
because he could be down there and fucking shoving the mic in people's mouths. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, I don't know. But, dude, the fact that he plays guitar and he's fucking can sing and all that shit is dope. Mm-hmm. And the fact that how long has it been since he played a show before that?
This is with fucking Ramallah or Hating back in the early 2000s.
A long time
yeah.
ago.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 15 years.
Yeah. Just pick up the guitar and just, I'm fucking good, man.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know they were doing lots of fucking practices, like three times a week for like leading up like the 3 months prior. And,
yeah.
You know, but here and there in between. But I was like, holy shit, they're really putting their best foot forward. And for it to be the best show, you know, for them to come back to, because... Well, some people have their opinions. You know, they say, oh, the fucking money grab, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, not necessarily. They are getting paid, obviously. But for them
pretty
to
well.
Put everything into it, 120% into the set, like, who fucking cares?
Yeah, it wasn't like they, like I said, for sure getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. But showing up to justify making the money
mm-hmm.
is another thing. And it fucking sounded good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, really good.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's not like you're paying for something and you didn't get it.
Yeah.
You got it.
You know, and in between, you know, the Cold as Life and the Hate Inc. set that they did, it was like an hour and 10 minutes total. And like they were on stage fucking ripping, dude.
Yeah.
It's like there was no lower energy unless like maybe if a guitar was a little slower, but it was all high energy. You know, a couple times, Jeff, he did get off guitar yeah. just saying, shit, were you there? Did you go to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I remember seeing you. It's,
yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said before, I stand in the back.
Yeah.
Or I was off to the side.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have like a backstage pass or anything. You know, I didn't get like a, you know.
But, dude, it was cool though. Like that was like fuck, such an experience and all the hype leading up to it. And I think it was everything. It couldn't have been any better, especially with the lineup alone. You know, all the bands that were on that bill.
I was so pumped to see Mind Force.
Yeah.
That was fucking, like, I love that band. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, yeah.
Like, every band fucking ripped. It was, like, great positive vibes the entire time. And everyone was like, it's going to be a fucking prison riot. Which, you know, I was down with it. You know, let's get crazy. But I
saw a few people get knocked out, but that's, like, going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. With that amount of people, like, just a law of averages and how crazy people were going, it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
And it did. But... Shit, dude, if I can go back, I'd fucking do that whole show, fucking every band that played, I would do the exact same thing again.
Yeah, that was dope. Yeah. Death Threat, freaking, who else was
Terror.
It? Integrity, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Integrity. I thought, like, dude, I think that band's, like, all right, you know?
Integrity.
But when I saw them that night, I'm like, dude, they might have been the fucking sickest band of the night.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, was it just like how they performed or
yeah.
like the crowd?
Just performance. Yeah. Like, it was fucking sick. The songs ripped.
Yeah.
Live. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes the recording doesn't translate to live.
Mm-hmm.
And live doesn't translate to recording. You know what I mean? Yeah, I feel like live, it was just like, holy fuck. And I don't know if there's any original dudes in the band because I don't follow them, but they fucking ripped.
Yeah, I think just the singer, Dwid. I don't know. Is he the original guy from Integrity? I don't know.
I think so.
Like, see, I'm like, yeah, I don't care about Integrity at all. I didn't watch them that night.
Yeah, dude, like I played in bass in From Hell, and like they did that Misha song or whatever.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, we're gonna cover this. I'm like, never heard it in my life, dude.
Never heard it. I guess I'll learn it.
Now I just know it. I guess.
But no, it was you know, a lot of. I have a highly respected for that band because a lot of people like them. I'm the outcast when it comes to Integrity. Everybody I know loves that fucking band. I'm like, I couldn't care any less. Yeah. You know, that's just me. And I just don't like the record. It's just too different for me. I'm plain Jane, fucking boring hardcore. You know, I don't care about fucking metal or, you know.
Yeah.
or different tones. Give me the top fucking three chords and whatever the fuck. I don't care. One finger. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, yeah.
That's all I need. Yeah. That's all I need. I'm not picky, or maybe I'm just a hater because I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's up to you, dude.
Yeah, fuck it. But shit's thriving now. What else we got, man? About an hour and 8 minutes. Holy shit, we made it an hour. Wow. No skips, no pauses.
Yeah, no internet issues.
But no, I think we fucking pretty much covered everything. Anything we didn't talk about with your band? You got a couple songs that'll be out.
Yeah.
By the time we drop this,
yes,
I'm going to save it.
Yep. So, I mean, even though they're... it's going to play at the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're just waiting on the freaking stuff to get mixed.
Good.
Like, yeah, I'm just like fucking impatient, dude. Like I said, we started recording in August, and I was like, dude, I'm going to have these two songs out by Christmas. And then in my head, my goal was to be considered to be a band to play the Tied Down pre-show. Which I thought was only going to be one, but apparently there's two.
Yeah.
Which I'm waiting. I keep refreshing my phone like, when's this fucking pre-show one going to be announced? Oh, maybe you know.
Yeah, this will be. Yeah, dude, this will be out after that's announced.
Yeah.
Probably today, right?
I think so, or tomorrow.
Okay, well, I know only two of the band, so.
Who are they?
I can say it here. No, I can say it because it'll be out after. Fucking E-Town Concrete.
That's hard.
And Gridiron.
Oh, sick.
So those are the two bands that I know of. I don't know who else is on it.
Yeah, when the other one was announced, I was like, wow. Like, that's fucking dope. But yeah. Like I said before, like, a lot of these bands didn't stick to me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw Ceremony at, like, some skateboard thing downtown, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You remember what that was?
No.
They had some skateboarding event and they fucking played there. Maybe Vans did it or something.
Okay, maybe.
But like that band, I don't know who else is playing that show.
No Warning.
No, don't. I mean,
the Fury.
I'll go to a Madball show. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, well, the bands didn't, like, that Hatebreed era for me, like 15 years of Hatebreed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of those bands didn't stick.
Yeah. You know? And a lot of those bands that are on there, they. You know, from like when we got into shit, they were like, after you found out what you liked, they were just like overflow of stuff that like, you didn't fucking care about, in my opinion.
Yeah,
like,
that's kind of how I felt.
The Ceremony, I don't care that much. Like, they're not a bad band.
No, for sure.
But I'm not, I'm not going to be first in line to buy their fucking shirt.
But I'm just saying, like, when I see the lineup, mm-hmm. like, when I see, even when they announced Tied Down, I'm like, holy fuck. Like, not every band I'm, like, fucking stoked about, but, like, who the fuck am I? You know what I mean? I can look at it and be like, they fucking killed it, and it's probably going to sell out.
Oh, yeah.
It will sell out. But
it's very close to selling out.
Yeah. And I'm just like, whatever. Like I said, I want a one-day pass to Saturday to see God's Hate.
Hell yeah.
Whoever happens to play that day, I don't know if they separated the days yet or not.
No, not yet.
But I haven't seen them yet.
Dude.
And that, like I said, like there's a few bands other than Hatebreed that I'm like, fuck yeah. You got like Bitter End, Alpha and Omega,
yeah.
Fucking God's Hate, the newest album, the 2021 or 2022 album.
Yeah.
The other stuff I didn't really care. I was
number
like,
one in violence.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck. Like, this shit like looks sweet, like, but I just wasn't into it with that last album. I'm like, they fucking killed it.
Yeah, dude. Especially like Tied Down is so fucking cool. Like if you're like a little closer to the front, you got to be up front. You got to feel that energy. Like for God's Hate, it was like it felt like as big as like a hardcore show can get without it being like an arena show. Feeling like you're at like I don't know some fucking weird, you know, show like a fucking. Just like how like grand the whole event is. Like I never been to this as hardcore, so I don't know. Like it was like a similar feeling, like with like the big stage and all the other people like on the stage, all the band's friends like standing on the side and like huge. Like there was even like 3, 4, 5 people deep like before the pit. Like
yeah,
like wow, it's crazy. Like not an open like front of the stage. Everybody was singing along to God's Hate and fucking Trapped Under Ice. Like it's like you had to. Like 4, 5, 6 people like before you can even get to the stage. I was like, damn, this is wild. Like all these people up front like are like willing to get jumped on. It's funny. It's like Scott Vogel's like perfect stage dive. I'm like, he can't tell people to move up because there's already fucking like 200 people in front of the stage.
Yeah, that's fucking like, sick.
Let's go. So for them to play this year, I don't want to hear them. Move up. Move up. There ain't nowhere to move up, motherfucker.
That's like one of my favorite bands, too, still. It's like the surface bands of hardcore, like my favorite bands.
Yeah. It's like the first, like, in your introduction, you're going to hear about Terror.
Yeah.
And Hatebreed.
Fucking love it.
And Mind Force. Those are like the ones that are going to be still considered, like, this is your prerequisites. If you want to go any further, you have to understand this.
Yeah. But even that Knock Loose is playing at the same venue, right?
Yeah, in April, I believe.
Dude, how the... Maybe I just don't get it. I don't understand how they're so big. They're dope. But, like, they're not on the radio, dude.
No.
And they're drawing that many kids to play there.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened either. I don't know. Because I've seen them... Terror open for them at the Magic Stick in, like, 2018, maybe. But they... I think the first time they came here, they played at the Sanctuary. I think it was the old Sanctuary, though. I think. I don't know. But I know it was really small, and then they just exponentially grew. And then I seen them at St. Andrews, which I hate that fucking place. I hate fucking St. Andrews so much, just because the barricade.
Yeah. Then, I stand in the back, so I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, and I seen them at the Magic Stick, and I think that's it.
But it's just crazy.
And now they're enormous. Yeah. They're enormous, so it's exciting.
Yeah, it sucks to end on Knock Loose, but either way, I'm not saying like, dude. I don't know, and I'm not hating at all. I think it's fucking dope that they're huge, but I don't like understand like where are all these fucking kids hearing this band at?
I don't know.
Is it the labels pushing like more advertising for it, or is it just they're that fucking good? That
I don't know how it's crazy. Man. I think I don't know. It's crazy because when Terror opens for them, you know, and even Rotting Out opened for them one time. Mm. I was like, what the fuck is going on right now? And they're crushing it. So
and they're good for heavy them. As fuck.
Like, they got a new shit dropping in April, I think, a new album. Yeah, so
they just put a new song out like yesterday.
Day before. We'll see. I don't know. Like I said before, like if you get too big, I kind of fucking turn my head. Like I don't care anymore. Like normal people going to shows and like I said, when I seen them at St. Andrews, it's like people are like fucking like push pitting. I was like, I just want to fucking kick their head off so bad.
I don't mosh. I was just.
Well, you're going to mosh. You're going to mosh to your own band when you guys have your first show.
Yeah, I'll have to learn how first. And then.
Learn how.
Then I'll do it. Yeah.
We just. You see the smallest kid standing by the outside of the pit and just punch him right in the face. That's it. All right. Bye.
All right. See you.